Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, my people. Good morning, my people. Good morning to my radio audience this morning. I would like to give a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, all the honor, glory this morning. And I would like to thank him and the Holy Spirit and the Heavenly Host today. I give him all the praise, all the honor and glory. You're a great God, and there's no God like him, and there's no God before him, and he is the true and only living God. We are here again today, people. We are here again today, this morning. I wanted to come on yesterday, but I got so caught up and doing things yesterday that I didn't have time to come on. So I said I'll come on early this morning and pick it up from where we left off. This is God Law versus the Law of the Land, 8-week teaching, all 613 laws in the Bible, audio number 4. This is Sister Radio Talk Show. And I am your host, Elishaba. Guest call-in number 661-244-9831. If you would like to call in to join us live on this broadcast today. We're going to go right into where we left off in the 613 laws, the mitzvot in the Hebrew. The mitzvot and the Hebrew. The Torah, the Old Testament. The laws that was given to the children of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, and the Gentiles, if they want to follow the God of Israel and do whatever the God of Israel wants them to do, so he can be their God. So we're going to pick it up at law number 59 of the 613 laws that's written up in the Torah, the Old Testament, Mitzvot in the Hebrew. This part of the section of the law is talking about marriage, divorce, and family. Let me repeat that, people, because you Christians and all y'all other people believe that the law is done away with and you on the grace and you on the mercy and you ain't got to do it no more. And you only got to keep the 10. But as I told you so many times, that the 10 commandments only have 10 laws that's wrote up for you to keep. And when you go through the 613 laws, the Torah and the Old Testament, you see a whole lot of laws that you people need to know and understand. We need to know and understand what these laws are, why they was written, and what we need to do to keep them. So the Ten Commandments don't have no laws about marriage and divorce and family. Let me repeat that. I'm giving you some wisdom right now. Word of wisdom. Words of wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Ten Commandments only have the ten laws that do not include what I have been teaching you, what I have been teaching you for the last 3 broadcasts and plus this broadcast today. So there's no law about marriage in the Ten Commandments. There's no law about divorce in the Ten Commandments. There's no law about family in the Ten Commandments. You got some in there where it said, do not steal, do not kill, and honor your mom and your dad. But that's it, people. So I'm trying to help you people to understand that what you believe about the law of God is done away and it's obsolete. And you don't have to keep it because you're under grace and you're under Jesus. And you're under mercy and all that. And you're not under the New Testament. Every law that we're going to go through in the 613 laws of the Torah, the Old Testament, you people need them. You need them. You need to understand them. You need to understand what the God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, the God of the Hebrew nation, want you to do, how he wants you to do, and what he wants you to do. And that's only written up in the Torah, the law. So you've been deceived. You've been deceived by the law of the land, the law of religion that was created by man, by the people that ruled this earth. You've been deceived, people. You've been deceived to think and believe that just keeping 10 is okay. And you under Jesus and you under grace. But I am here as the prophet of the God of Israel to correct you. To correct you. And to teach you and to edify you and show you that you people are in error. You are in great, great, great error. So that proves to you that your 10 commandments that you believe that's all you got to keep is not the complete law of the God of Israel that you must keep today in order to be his people, and he's going to be your God. I'm talking about the real God. I'm talking about the real God. Okay, people? So let's go into it right now. I have some scriptures that I want to go over today. I have a few scriptures that I want to go over today. And I think what I am going to do before we start going into the laws and reading the law, I want to read Romans 3:31. Let me get that, people. Come on. Let's learn today. Let's get some understanding. Let's get some knowledge and wisdom to help us and our children in this earth. Because guess what, people? You're going to need it. You're going to need it with what's about to happen up in here. You're going to need it. Believe me, people. You're going to need direction. You're going to need understanding. You're going to need to understand what you got to do from this point on. And only the law can tell you that and show you that and reveal that to you. So let's go to Romans. Romans, your favorite scriptures, Christian church, and all the rest of you folks. Romans 3:31. Let's see what the Bible says in the New Testament. And I would like to thank the people who've been going back, listening to all of the teachings and audios and broadcasts that I have made on this platform. Thank you. Thank you. Romans 3:31. Let's read it. Romans 3:31. Let's start at verse 29. Romans 3:29, just to put everything in context. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Yes, he's the God of the Jews, which is the 12 tribes of Israel, the Hebrew nation. First, they are his inheritance in the earth, his chosen seed, his chosen people in the earth. Excuse me. And the Gentiles right here in Romans 3:29. Yes, he's their God as long as they do what he wants them to do, the law. Just like he told the children, they had to keep the law. It's a perpetual, it's an everlasting covenant. That's what he told them when they was in the wilderness. You can't destroy or get rid of something that's perpetual, and it's an everlasting covenant. No one is going to come like Jesus, you say, and destroy the law, and you know the law. You know he's the end of the law. No, he didn't come for that, people. Again, you have been deceived through religion, the law of the land, and they did it on purpose. The people that set up all your religions and all your laws and all your stuff that you got to follow in this earth, they did it on purpose. And we're going to talk about some of those purposes today, why they did it. So right here, yes, he's the God of the Gentiles. If they follow the law and do what he said and what he wants them to do. But the Gentiles will never, ever be his chosen people. The Gentiles will never, ever, ever. Anybody that's not a Jew, anybody that's not a Hebrew, is a Gentile. Okay, people? He'll never be their God unless they do what he tells them to do. Just like the children of Israel, he won't even be their God, even though they are his chosen people, unless they keep the law that was given to them when they left Egypt. Romans 3:30. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision. It's only one God. There's not Buddha and Allah and Jesus and Jehovah and Jesus and Hindu God and German God and Korean God and Catholic. All of these gods that you people have. And that's why the world is confused. You are very, very confused, people. You confused. You don't know what you're doing and why you're doing what you're doing. All you know, you fall in. You fall in something that was set up for you to follow and for you to do. You don't know why you're doing what you're doing. Or you know you've been told by your mom and your mama now and your daddy now to be a Christian and, you know, go to church and be saved. You're just following the law of this land and the system. And it have everybody confused. It's only one God. And again, he only have one name. One name. He don't have all these names y'all people calling on. I guarantee you that. I will put my life on that he only have one name and he's only one God. So you can't make 10 statues or different looking statues and to get a statue's different names and all of that and say that you're talking to God and you praying to God. What God? A false God. That's what you're praying to and calling on. It's not the God of Israel. It's not the God of Abraham. And it's not the God of Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes, Israel. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith. By faith. The circumcision is Israel, the 12 tribes. They are the circumcision in the earth. By faith, yes, by faith. They got to believe in the God of Israel. Even though he gave them the law way back there in the Old Testament, you have to believe that he is and that there is no one else, that he is the God of Israel, that he is the creator, that he is the living God, and he is the God of the covenant. By faith, you must believe this. The circumcision, which is the children of Israel, and the uncircumcised, which is the Gentiles' faith. Both nationalities and races of people have to believe by faith. And see, our ancestors, when they was in the wilderness, they didn't want to believe by faith. They didn't want to have faith in the God of Israel. Y'all think faith just came in Hebrew chapter 11, you Christians. Y'all think faith just popped up in the New Testament. No, faith have always been a part of believing and serving the God of Israel. Noah had faith to build the ark. It took faith for him to believe what the God of Israel told him to do and act upon it. Abraham had faith. But y'all so stuck in the New Testament with faith and yeah and all of that stuff. But it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. You must believe. And you must believe in the law. And you must believe in the covenant. And you must believe in the God of that law and covenant. By faith. See, Israel didn't have no faith in the wilderness. The only faith they had is to go back to Egypt. It's to go back to Egypt and serve Pharaoh and keep the law of the land of Egypt. And because they was faithless, the God of Israel killed millions of them in the wilderness. And in Canaan, let me keep going. Romans 3:31. Give me 1 minute, please. Celia! Celia! Come and run her away to him. Come and run him away, please. Romans 3:31. Do we then, even though you are a Jew or a Gentile, the circumcision or the uncircumcision? Uncircumcised right here in Romans 3:30 for the Gentiles means that they are not the chosen seed. They are not the chosen seed in the God of Israel. Did not give them the law. Did not give them the law of circumcision. He gave it to the children of Israel. It say right here, uncircumcision for Romans 3:30. It's Greek number 203. It says, the penis, or male sexual organ, the prepuce by implication and uncircumcised, that is Gentile. That means they are a unclean nation. They heathens. Gentiles are heathens. They dogs. That's what the God of Israel called them. Heathens and dogs. They uncircumcised. So it said that is Gentile. The uncircumcised, that is Gentile, figuratively unregenerated state of person, not circumcised, uncircumcised. Heathen nation, Gentile. But anyway, let's go to Romans 3:31. I want to make everything perfectly clear to you people. I don't want to teach more confusion on top of confusion. Because that's what all your leaders and all your elders and pastors and them doing. They're teaching confusion on top of confusion. Every time you lead church, and the Hebrew Israelites and all that stuff, platforms, you people are confused. You're not clear in your thinking, not clear in what you're supposed to be doing and how you're supposed to be doing. That's what I'm here for, as the prophet of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it say right here, Romans 3:31, do we then make void the law? Look what it's saying. See, this scripture right here is not injection. You got some scriptures in Romans is injections, but this one is not a injection. Why? Because it's going to take you right back to the Torah. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. So Paul ain't never, ever, ever, ever told the children of Israel or the Gentiles they didn't have to keep the law. That they under grace and they under all of that. You got to understand what Paul is saying when he said you under grace and you under, you know, you're not under the law. You got to understand the statement and whether it is an injection or not. Because it could be. It could be. Why? Just to bring forth their religion. Just to bring forth their understanding, just to bring forth the law of the land. They had to put scriptures in the Bible when they translated the Hebrew scrolls to what we have today. They had to put injections in the Bible so you can believe, Hebrews and all the rest of y'all, so you can believe that the law is done away with. So they had to put scriptures in the Bible say, you under grace and, you know, you're not under the law. They put, you know, that could be an injection. I'm not saying that it is because I haven't really did no research on that particular verse to prove that yet. But Paul is saying right here, Paul believed in, he believed in the law. He kept the law. Him and all the disciples. The Son of God, Yeshua, you call him Jesus, but his name is Yeshua, kept the law. When he walked this earth, he kept the law. Do we then make void the law? Look what Paul said right here. Look what it say. Void is Greek number 2673. Do we then make void the law? It's a void to be rendered entirely idle, useless. And see, that's what you people have been taught, that the law is useless. Void means useless, no good. That's what Paul's saying. Do we then... He's talking to the Jew and the Gentile. Do we then make void law? It's a useless, Greek number 2673, literally or figuratively abolished. That's what the Christian church teaches. The law is done away with. It's no good. It's obsolete. It's abolished. Cease. I'm reading a Greek number for the word void. Cease, abolish, destroy, do away, become, make of no, none, without effect, frail, loose, bring, not, put away, put down, vanish away, make void. Paul is telling the Jew and the Gentile right here, the Hebrew, the 12 tribes of Israel. Do we then make void the law through faith? So even though you got faith in the Father, the God of Israel, that's who he is. Even though you have faith in his Son and the Holy Spirit, that do not mean that the law is done away with and the law is ceased and the law is abolished and the law is no good. Faith would not destroy the law of the God of Israel. We're talking about the 613 laws that's written up in the Torah and the Old Testament. Faith would not destroy the law. It could never destroy the law. Faith simply means right here in Romans 3:31. Even though you have faith, Gentile, and you believe in God, and you believe in the Son of God and the Holy Spirit and salvation and all that stuff you believe in, that do not make the law void. The law still stands, because look what he said. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Just because you believe in Jesus, just because you believe that you are saved and salvation, that do not make the law void. You cannot throw the law of God out the window and out the door and say you ain't got to keep it and you ain't got to do it because I'm on the faith. Even Abraham, I'm trying to help you people, give you some prophetic wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Even Abraham over there in Genesis, he had faith in the God of Israel. He had faith in the God of Israel. And guess what? He still had to keep the law. So I wanted to throw that scripture there out there before we start going into the 613 laws. Paul said we do not throw the law away. God forbid that you have faith in him and faith in, you know, the Son of God, that you're going to just make the law void and of obsolete and you don't have to keep it and do it. God forbid that, man. God forbid. I'm talking about not your God. I'm talking about the God of Israel, the one that wrote the law. He forbid. Yay. Paul say, yes, we establish the law. No, we ain't going to throw it away. No, we ain't going to say it's no good. No, we ain't going to say we ain't got to keep it. We're going to establish that the law is good, that the law is righteousness, that the law is holy, that the law is true. That's another scripture written up in the book of Romans, what I just said. So no, people, no. We must establish the law in this earth. And that's why the people that rule this earth, they, you know, that's in control right now, told you that the law is done away with. Through all their religion, through all their teaching, and through all their instructions in this earth. Why? So that you can uphold the law of the land, and they can come forth with all their laws. Usury, taking out, you know, telling you can get loans out of the bank and, you know, get credit cards when God of Israel said up under the law, broadcast number 3, go back and listen to that. He said under the law that that's usury. You're not allowed under the Torah, under the covenant, to go get no loans out and let people use you with interest. We must establish the law, because the law of the God of Israel have been took out of the earth. And that's why everybody is lawless. You people feel like you can do what you want to do, go where you want to go, say what you want to say, feel what you want to feel, and be what you want to be. Why? Because the God of Israel law have not been established. They told you it's no good, and you don't have to keep it no more. Only law you got to keep is their law, whatever they say. Spend all your life doing whatever the law of the land tell you to do. And that's exactly what you people are doing. So we're going to go now. We must establish the law. And me as the prophet of the God of Israel, I must establish the law in the earth. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. And that's exactly what I am doing. Because I've been instructed to do what I am doing. So let's go now. Let's go now. We must establish the law. And we must keep and understand the law. Let me look up the word establish right here in the Greek before we go. Romans 3:31, for the word establish, it's a Greek number 2476. Abide, appoint, bring, continue. Come on, pull up the Greek number with me. If you don't believe me, Christians, if you don't believe me, people, pull the Greek number up for Romans 3:31 for the word established. 2476. Bring, continue, covenant, establish, hold up, present, set up, forth, stand. The law stands today. I must present it to you. Uphold it. The God of Israel never told you his law is done away with. That's something you've been taught through your false religions and your institutions called churches and mosques and synagogues and shrines and all the rest of it. Let's go now. Marriage, divorce, and family, law number 59. And I have a few more scriptures that I'm going to read later. Law number 59, marriage, divorce, and family. That's what we're going to be reading about right now in the Torah. To honor father and mother, that's Exodus 20. Verse 12, that's the one wrote up in one of the laws that's wrote up in the Ten Commandments. To honor father and mother. I don't need to read that one because I'm very familiar with that one. If you want to read it, go ahead and read it. Law number 60. Not to smite a father or a mother. Exodus 21:15. Let's go to that. Because we got a lot of young people in the earth today. A lot of grown people in the earth today that's killing their mom. That's killing their mom and their dads. Smiting them to death. Beating them, killing them, torturing them. All kind of stuff going on in the earth today with the mother and the father. Why? Because our children are lawless. We are lawless people. We've been taught to be lawless because they told us that the law is gone away. We didn't read it. When I was growing up, my mama would sit me down and read the law and the Torah and go over the covenant with me, what we need to do as a people, how she need to raise us as children. That's why you got people killing their parents today, taking their mom and their dad life, losing their mind, going crazy, just killing them. Why? Why? Because we as a people growing up in this earth has been taught lawlessness. So let's read this. Exodus 21:15. That's why people can take the life of their mom and their dad, their mother and their father, and don't have no conscience behind it and don't really feel guilt behind it. Why? Because they never read this in the Bible. A lot of them have never, ever read that, establish the law, like Paul told us to do. We must establish the law with faith. Faith with the law. You can't just have faith. You got to have faith in the law. Both. That's the only way it's going to work. Faith is simply just believing in what the God of Israel told us to do. That's all it is. Exodus 21:15 for law number 60, not to smite a father or a mother. Let me get it. Exodus 21:15. It's school time. It's time to learn, people. It's time to learn the real truth now. Real education and knowledge. Exodus 21:15. And he that smited his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. Up under the law of the God of Israel, you cannot smite. In the Hebrew means to strike, wound. Strike, wound. I have to call you back. I'm on the radio. A wound, okay? You are not allowed to do that on the law number 60. Or you shall be put to death. And that's what our ancestors did when they was in their own land. When they was in Canaan, Africa, Jerusalem. That's what they did. Anybody that hits their mama or do something wrong to their mom or their dad or punish them or abuse them, the children of Israel had to put them to death. What's going on today under the law of the land with this particular Bible verse? When you kill your mom or your dad or something, they put you in jail. They might give you 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. But no, the God of Israel say you must be put to death. That's what he said. He didn't say get nobody no 10 years and 20 years and 30 years and let them sit on death row for 60 or 50, 60 years and then electrocute them. He said, put them to death right away. So again, this law is not being practiced in the earth, but they got their own law, the law of this land. Next law, law number 61, people. Not to curse a father or mother. I know I did a lot of that growing up, cursing out my mama. A lot of that growing up, cursing out my mama, slapping my mama, fighting my mama, because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And you got children like that right now today. Right now today as I speak. You got young people knocking their mom out. When their mom and they begin up in their face, their mom and dad trying to tell them what to do, they knock them out or they kill them, man. Or they kill them.
I done read so many news articles in the news where young people, young men and young women, because their mama take their cell phone or their mama tell them they can't go on Facebook. Or their mama tell them they can't go outside. They got to stay in the house. They killed them, man. They killed them. This is a lawless society. This is a lawless world because we have not been taught the law. And we have not been taught about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the real God. So that's why we are lawless. And that's why our children is lawless. And they don't know right from wrong. The only law they got to go by and try to make their life correct is the law that's wrote in this land. They don't know the God of Israel law. So let's read that one, 21:17. And Exodus 21:17 for law number 61. And he that curses his father or his mother, look what the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob said, shall surely be put to death. So up under the law of the God of Israel, when I was cursing out my mom, I never cursed my father. When I was cursing out my mom, the God of Israel said I should have been put to death way back then. Way back then up under the law. But because he's a merciful God, he's a loving God, and he's a God that have a heart to understand and to feel, he allow a lot of things to go on in this earth that shouldn't go on in this earth. And guess what? Only the children of Israel, our ancestors, the 12 tribes of Israel, the Hebrew nation, can establish and exercise these laws that the God of Israel wrote to the children of Israel in the wilderness. Only the children of Israel can execute the covenant and the 613 laws that's wrote up in the Bible. But because our ancestors rebelled and they went against the God of Israel to serve other gods, just like you people doing right now, they got kicked out of Jerusalem, Canaan, Africa. They got kicked out. And ever since they got kicked out and they scattered all over the earth, over in the Caribbean, America, all over earth, the children of Israel is today. There's no one to execute the Hebrew nation, the greatest nation that ever exists on earth. Let me say it again. The greatest nation that have ever existed on earth don't know who they is today and don't know who their God is. So because that, there's no one, because he gave it to the children of Israel, the covenant, and the 613 laws, and they supposed to establish it. And they did, but they went off. So because they scattered all over the earth in slavery, in captivity, under their oppressors, under the people that created the law of the land, and that's what they follow in doing right now, there's no one to execute the Torah and the covenant and the law, the mitzvah of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we must establish that God's law is not done away, that God's law is still good, that we must uphold his law. Establish me, uphold it, not uphold the law of this land. And that's what you people have been upholding for a very long time. For a very long time. And that's why this is a lawless. If the law of the land was so good and so great, the Constitution and all that stuff y'all believe, If it was so good and great like you people believe and think, then we wouldn't be seeing with all this stuff and deaths and the stuff going on in the earth right now if it was such a great law. No, it's actually teaching the people to be lawless because it's teaching them against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that there's another God and he got another name and you got many names. You can build a statue or however you think that God, just build a statue and make it look like the way you want it to look. You don't have to keep no law. You just obey our law. Obey the police. Do what they tell you to do. Obey the judge and the people that have rule in this earth. See, people, that's what have happened. They took down the law of the God of Israel and set up the law of the land and established it. And we are the people, or you are the people, not me no more. I denounce all gods, all law, everything. I denounce all that. But you are the people that's upholding it. Next. So, yeah, you can't kill, you can't curse your mama and your daddy out. You can't do none of that, people. You can't hit them and do none of that. The God of Israel said you're supposed to be put to death. Law number 62. To reverently fear father and mother. Leviticus 19:3. Let's go to that. You got to fear your father and your mother. You can't fear the government. You can't fear the people that rule this earth. You can't fear no one. You have to fear your father and your mother. This is up under the covenant. Because the God of Israel put us here to make a world for us. A perfect world. We have a perfect law. He's a perfect God. And we're supposed to be a perfect people. Only if we keep his law and do what he say. So Leviticus 19, for law number 62, marriage, divorce, and family. That's what we're reading about, this section of the law. Leviticus 19:3. CDI, excuse me, people, run her to the back, okay? Put in the back somewhere. She's full enough. Excuse me, people. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. Look what this law said in Leviticus 19. Law number 62. You should fear your mother and your father. I am a higher your God. You only got one God with one name. If you believe in that God and if you keep his law, you got to fear every man. He didn't say some man. His mother and his father. And your mother and father must be righteous. And they must be the kind of people that keep the law also. He ain't telling you to feel mother and a father that's sinners and, you know, walk up and down the street and do all kind of ungodly things. You shall fear every man, his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. Sabbaths with an S, people. That means the seventh day is the Sabbath. Every Saturday is the Sabbath. The seventh day is the Sabbath. You must keep that day holy. You must keep that day righteous. That's the Sabbath. And Sabbaths with an S, so it's talking about more than one Sabbath. It's talking about the seventh day of the week, and it's also talking about all the holy days that's wrote up in the Torah, for in the Old Testament, for us to keep Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, First Fruits, Feast of Tabernacle, Day of Atonement. All of those are his holy days that our ancestors had to keep, along with the seventh day of the week. They are Sabbaths. But instead of you people keeping his Sabbaths, you like to keep Sunday worship. See how backwards and lost and destroyed you people are. Confused. Because they put in the New Testament that he resurrected on the first day of the week. So we ain't got to keep the Sabbath no more. Because Jesus came back on a Sunday. You need to do some research, man. And really understand what he meant when he said the first day of the week. It wasn't talking about no Sunday. Just because you see the first day of the week, that's talking about a Sunday. And when you look up the word first in the Greek, you're going to see something totally different, Pete. So you must keep his Sabbaths, his holy days, and it's Holy Sabbath, which is on Saturday of every week. And you got to fear your mama, and you got to fear your daddy. Law number 63. Let's keep going, people. Law number 63, to be fruitful and multiply. That's what you got to do. This is up under the Torah. To be fruitful, men and women, and multiply. Remember he told Noah that? Come on, people. Let me help you to understand that Noah knew the law also. Noah kept the law. Adam and Eve, when they left the garden, they was told things that they had to do and what they couldn't do. So right here, for law number 63 is Genesis 1:28, to be fruitful and multiply. Let's go to that. Let's go to that, people. Genesis 1:28. Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. See that, people? He didn't tell you to be weak and subdue it. Look what he told our ancestors. Subdue it means have dominion in this earth. This was way back there in Genesis chapter 1. When he created Adam and Eve. Let's go up to Genesis 1:27. Come along with me, people. Follow me. Follow me so I can help you today. Genesis 1:27. For law number 63 in the Torah, Old Testament. The 613 laws that we must follow. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. And look what he told our mom and our daddy, Adam and Eve. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, both of them. He wasn't just talking to the man, okay? You got a lot of your pastors and your elders and all them say a woman, they don't know how to do nothing. The woman just got to be quiet and sit down somewhere. No, that's the law of religion. They put one scripture in the Bible over there in the book of Timothy, in the book of Corinthians, that a woman should be quiet and be silent and all that. That's an injection, man. That is a injection. Why? Because it's not going to take you back to the Torah, the Old Testament, to prove that precept there in the New Testament, Corinthians tempted to tell a woman got to be quiet and, you know, I don't allow a woman to teach and say nothing. That is the injection, man, because it's not going to precept you back to the Torah to prove to you that the God of Abraham and the God of Israel said that. So it's a straight up injection to keep you women still, to keep you women quiet, and to keep you women weak. He told our mama Eve. He told our mama Eve, man. And God blessed them, Genesis 1:28. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. He didn't tell them to have no Planned Parenthood and take birth control pills and kill your babies, have abortions. Do y'all see all this wickedness that is set up in this world under the law of the land? Do you see all this wickedness that's against the God of Israel and what he say and how he said and what he told us to do? The law of the land tell you it's okay for you to kill your baby. Abortion. It's okay for you to take birth control pills. It's okay for you to wear condoms. That's another law of the land. To wear condoms. And, you know, they got it in school where they teach you, you know, that a little boy need to put a condom on his penis and all of this stuff. You don't need to catch no disease and all of that. Well, how did the disease get here? Because I don't see no disease nowhere up in here. He told our daddy and our mom, God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful. Be fruitful. Bring forth. Have a lot of babies. And multiply. And that's what he told Noah and his sons when they got off the ship with their wives, to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The same thing that he told Adam and Eve, our mom and our dad. And subdue it. Hebrews 3:5-3 For the word subdue, to conquer, violate, bring into bondage, force, keep under, subdue, to conquer people. Children of Israel, Hebrews, we supposed to be conquering the earth, not the earth conquering us. And that's exactly what's going on in this world. We are being conquered when we're supposed to be conquering ourselves. He told it to the man and the woman. He didn't just tell it to Adam. He said, replenish the earth, have a lot of babies, fill it, and they don't, all the law of the land teach you not to have so many because you got to go to work. You don't need to have no lot of babies, they teach, for the law of the land. You need to, you know, you need to go, you got to go to work, you got to go to school. You got to get a good career. You ain't got time to have no babies. You got to go work for Edom, Esau. You got to go work and make a paycheck. And that's not what the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob told us to do. He told us to multiply, have a whole lot of babies. They don't want us to have a whole lot of babies. And that's why they set up things under the law to keep you from having a whole lot of babies. To deceive you that you need to take birth control and all kind of stuff. Sterilize you, all kind of stuff. So look right here. He told them to subdue it. Have dominion, he said. He told them both to subdue the earth. He didn't just tell it to Adam. He told it to both of them. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl, over the air, and over every living thing. Over man, beast, every living thing that move upon the earth. Because we are gods. We are gods. Because we have the same DNA as the God of Israel have. We are gods. We come from him. I'm talking about the 12 tribes. I'm not talking about you Gentiles. I'm not talking about you Gentiles. I'm talking about the Hebrew nation and their ancestors. We their children. We are gods. Just like Adam and Eve in the garden, they was gods. They was already gods. And Satan deceived them and said, look, if you eat off this tree, you're going to be just like God. They was already gods. They was already gods, I mean. Little gods up under the real God, the one and only true God. They was little gods. They had power and dominion over the earth. Power and dominion over the earth. Okay, people, keep going. Let's keep going. So all this stuff you see in the law of the land, how they got everything set up, how they got it set up, and excuse me, people, I got a call. Yeah, I'm on the radio. I'll call you back later in a minute. Okay. Yes, people. So look, that's what it is. Law number 64, Deuteronomy 23:2, that a eunuch shall not marry a daughter of Israel. A eunuch shall not marry a daughter of Israel. Let's go to that because I want to explain to you what a eunuch is. Deuteronomy 23:2. So the God of Israel never told you not to have babies. And fill this earth with babies and have dominion over this earth and subdue it and conquer it. He never told you that. He's not a weak God. They have made you people weak with the way they teach you. Obey them that have rule and be, you know, do whatever you just follow. Just follow. Just follow what you're supposed to be doing. What you people supposed to be doing is following the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and his covenant. And that's why you people are weak, and that's why you people are dying, and that's why so much things are going on in this earth with COVID and all the rest of it. Because why? Because you people have became a weak people. You following something the God of Israel never told you follow, the law of the land. Next. Law for marriage, divorce, and family. Law number 64, Deuteronomy 23:2. Let's go to that. Let's go to that, people. Deuteronomy 23:2. You teaching that same stuff that they taught you to your children. Take birth control and all of that. God of Israel never told you to take no birth control. The God of Israel never told you to put no devices in your arm so you don't have no baby and put stuff up in your uterus to keep you from getting pregnant. This is up under the law, man, that you supposed to fill the earth and be fruitful, man and woman, Adam and Eve, be fruitful. Multiply. people been deceived by man. Deuteronomy 23:2 for law number 64, people. 23:2. What you people thought, man? What did y'all really think? Don't you see ain't nothing getting better in this world? And it never will get better. Because you don't have nothing to govern you. Nothing righteous to govern you. All the laws and stuff that they got set up is man-made laws. That's the difference between the God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob law. It's spiritual. And the law that you people are following. So the more you follow them laws and uphold these laws and whatever they say, you people get more weaker, more defeated, more under their control, more under their dominion when you're supposed to have dominion over them. Wow, how deep is that? Deuteronomy 3:2. Let's read verse 1. He that is wounded in the stones or have his private member cut off shall not enter into the congregation of Ahiah. That's another law. When a man get his penis cut off some kind of way, he get wounded, he not allowed to enter into the congregation. He not allowed to be a part of the children of Israel. He got to be cut off from them. 23:2. This is for law number. A bastard should not enter into the congregation of Ahiah. A bastard, even to his 10th generation. So that's like 1,000 years right there. One generation is 100 years. Even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of Ahiah. A bastard. What is a bastard? Okay, what is a bastard? Let's look it up in the Hebrew. Let's look it up in the Hebrew. Y'all want to know what a bastard is? That's not allowed for 1,000 years to enter into the congregation of the children. And I'm going to look up the word congregation because, see, when y'all read that word congregation in the Bible, Christians, you think it's talking about the Christian church. And it's not. The congregation is the 12 tribes of Israel. It ain't got nothing to do with no building at all and no ministry. At all. So a bastard right here, 23 verse 2 of Deuteronomy, a bastard, Hebrew number 4464, to alienate a magrel that is born of a Jewish father and a heathen mother, a bastard. So that's what I told you people on broadcast number 3, audio number 3, I told you that we read a law that the children of Israel, the Hebrew nation, the Hebrew men, and the Hebrew women was not allowed to marry anyone outside of their nationality and their race. And right here it says, for the Hebrew number, for Deuteronomy 23:2, that is born a Jewish father. So if you are a Hebrew, you don't have, and it said, and a heathen mother, you cannot marry no African woman. You can't marry no Chinese woman. You can't marry no Asian woman. You can't marry no one but your own race of people, which is Hebrews. You are considered as a bastard when you do that. Your children are gonna be bastards. When you marry a Gentile woman and you're a Hebrew man or woman, your children will be called bastards up under the law. And I'm going to just throw this out there, people, just to testify a little bit. My sister got mad at me. She's a Christian, born again believer and all that stuff she believes in. You know, born again into Jesus. She loved Jesus and she a Christian. Filled with the Holy Ghost, she say, and all of that. I went to her one day because my nephew, her son, married a white woman. And I told her, up under the law of the God that put you in this earth, the God of Israel, Ahaya is his name. Up under that God that wrote the law, that wrote the covenant, that wrote the Bible, the Torah, the Tanakh, and some of the New Testament. The New Testament is just an offset of the Old Testament. That's all it is. It's an offset. It's an offset of the Old Testament. That's all it is. So I told her, your son is wrong. He cannot marry no white woman. And I just told her that to try to show her up under the law in the Bible, in the Torah, the Old Testament, he's not allowed. Because my nephew, he a black man. He a black man. No, he's not African. He's not a Gentile. He is a Hebrew. He just don't know it. He just don't know it. And my sister don't know who she is either. So look, I told her, no, he's wrong. He ain't have no business marrying no white woman. And they done had a little girl together. A little girl together. So according to the Bible, she is considered as a bastard child. Now let me look up the word congregation, people. Congregation. Deuteronomy 23:2. It says here, Hebrew number 6951 for congregation. Usually, concretely, assembly, company, multitude. It's just people that's assembling themselves together. The children of Israel, they had their own. They had a temple when they was in their own land that Solomon built, and they defiled the temple and brought all kind of pagan stuff up in it, statues and all kind of stuff of their God. But congregation just simply means a assembling of a group of people. It said multitude. It ain't got nothing to do with no Christian church and membership and all that, where you're a member at and all of that ministry. Nothing at all. The God of Israel hate all your ministries. He hate all your congregations, stuff that you call churches. He hate, and mosques and all this stuff. He hate. So no, people, law number Law number 65, let's go to that. It say that a bastard, a illegitimate son shall not marry the daughter of a Jew. Deuteronomy 23:3, we just read that. So my nephew had no business marrying no white woman because he's a Hebrew. You can't marry no white woman, no Africans, no Chinese and all these people. You are cursing your own children, and you cursing your own selves. Why? Because you're going against the law. God's law. We read that one. Law number 66. That an Ammonite or Moabite shall never marry the daughter of an Israelite. Deuteronomy 23:4. Let's go to that. I don't know how much time I have. I'm just trying to get through this. Deuteronomy 23:4. Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt. And because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, at Petra, a Mesopotamian, to curse thee. So the Moabites did that. The Moabites and the Ammonites, Lot's children that he had with his daughters when they left Sodom and Gomorrah, when the God of Israel destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot's daughters, they lived up in a cage and they had sex with their dad. Those are the Moabites and Ammon in the earth. Lot brought, even though he a Hebrew man, they Hebrews, because Lot is a Hebrew. But they are not of the chosen seed that comes from Jacob, Abraham, and Isaac. So they brought, Lot brought forth a different race and a different nationality of people, Moabites and Ammon, the Jordanians and the Palestinians over there in the Middle East. That's who these people are. The ones over there fighting right now with the Israelis. They Jordanians, Moabites, and Ammonites. We cannot marry. A Hebrew man is not allowed to marry these women. And you women and you Hebrew sisters are not allowed to marry those men. Law number 67. Not to exclude a descendant of Esau from the community of Israel for three generations. Law number Deuteronomy, that's law number 67 for Deuteronomy 23:8-9. Let's read that, people. Same chapter, just go to verse 8 and verse 9. The children that are begotten of them shall not enter into the congregation of Ahiah and their third generation. Let's go back up. I got to go up to give you some understanding. Right here, Deuteronomy 23:7. Thou shalt not abhor or hate an Edomite. Do you Christians know what an Edomite is? Do you Muslims know what an Edomite is? Do you Buddhas and Hindus and all you people know what an Edomite is? You Moors and you Egyptologists and you conscious community and all you people, do y'all know what an Edomite is? Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite. It's Hebrew number 130. An Edomite or descendant from an inhabitant of Edom, Edomite, Jacob's big brother, Edom, Esau. Esau brought forth the Edomite race of people that's in this earth today, the Europeans. The Europeans. Thou shalt not abhor. That means hate an Edomite, for he is thy brother. He is the brother of Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes. He our big brother. We can't hate him. We can't hate our big brother Edom, even though he ruled, he set up the law of the land that we have in the earth today, all over the earth. He the one set it up. He the one set up all your religions, all your schools, all your education, everything that you see, your clothing line, your food, everything that we have in this earth that's considered as the law of the land. Edom, Esau, our big brother, is the one that set that up. Your constitution and all of that stuff. They're Europeans, Germans, Russians. Y'all know they is. Red-faced it. He is thy brother. Thou shalt not Ahurb an Egyptian, because thy was a stranger in his land. So we can't even hate a Egyptian. Do y'all know what Egyptian is, Christian? A Egyptian is African. African. No, you're not African. Joseph was sold to the Egyptians. He a black man, just like an Egyptian man is a black man. They're not white. You think they're white because the people that set up the law of this land, they whitewashed everything. They made all the pictures white, all the people white, everything white. Joseph white, Moses white, Abraham white, everybody white, the Egyptians white, everybody white. Nobody have no color. See how dumb and foolish and bewitched you people are? You bewitched. You don't understand truth, man. You don't understand truth. So, yeah, he told them right here for law number 67 that you cannot hate an Edomite because that's your brother, Jacob. That's your brother, Jacob. You cannot hate a Edomite. You cannot hate Esau's children. For he is thy brother. Thou shalt not hate an Egyptian. A black man. He's African. Egyptians are African. Hebrews are black. But they not African. And they not Egyptians. They Hebrews. It say right here, Egyptian. Misrai, an inhabitant of Misraim, Egyptian of Egypt. We can't hate them either. The children that are begot of them shall enter into the congregation of Ahia in their third generation. Only in their third generation was they able to connect with the children of Israel. Only then, in the third generation of their children, Edomites and Egyptians, was they allowed to connect with the 12 tribes of Israel, the Hebrew nation. Only in the third generation. The first and second generation of Esau's children, they was not allowed to connect. That's under the law. They was not allowed to be a part. Okay, let me keep going. Law number 68 now. Not to exclude an Egyptian from the community of Israel for three generations. We just read that. Law number 69, that there should be no harlot in Israel. It should not be a whole of the 12 tribes of Israel daughters. There should be no prostitutes, no hoes. That's Hebrew women. The God of Israel said, no, you can't be no hoe. You can't be no harlot. That's not permitted under the law for you to be a hoe. And look at our women today. Look at the Hebrew women today, my sisters. Yeah, I know about a hoe. I used to be a hoe. Yeah, I used to be a hoe. I used to actually break this law. Why? Because the law was never read to me and taught to me as a child. When the God of Israel say that we're supposed to teach our children the law, it was my mom and daddy never taught it to me. Matter of fact, my mom is the main one that made me a hoe. Okay? Yeah, I know about it being a hoe. But look at our black women today, our Hebrew sisters. They ain't none but hoes. Climbing up and down poles, trying to get $20, $50. Up in them strip clubs. They ain't none but hoes, man. Defiling their body. Defiling themselves, polluting themselves for a little bit of money, going against the God of Israel when he told you not to be a hoe. Some of y'all up in the churches, hoeing up with the elders, laying up with the elders up in the churches, laying up with the pastors up in the church. The pastor got a wife. You his mistress. You a hoe. You Hebrew Israelite women, y'all are hoes. Letting people put y'all together in marriage and all of that. You don't even know these men. They connecting you and all of that, saying you got to marry them and y'all make a good fit. You a hoe, man. You are a hoe. Walking up and down the street butt naked. Getting all kind of booty shots and breast M2s all over you, hair down to your past your ass. You are a hoe. And that's why they dropping dead like flies today. Because the God of Israel told a Hebrew woman that she could never be a hoe. She could never dress like a hoe. She could never wear harlot attire like a hoe. And you sisters love it. Oh, I got to show my legs and yeah, man, put on my booty shorts and yeah, my stilettos and yeah, pump my breasts up and yes, you ain't nothing but a hoe. And that's why, guess what, sisters, I'm talking to y'all right now, the God of Israel talking to you. That's why your men don't want you. The black man don't want you. The white man don't want you. No man want you. Why? Because you are a hoe. And don't no man want no hoe. Not no real man. They don't want no hoe for a wife. Or they don't want no hoe for a girlfriend. And they don't respect a hoe. A man will never respect a hoe. You're going to always be all kind of bitches and all kind of stuff. That's how they're going to talk to you and treat you. Because that's how you look to them. That's how you present yourself to your black Hebrew brothers and men. Like you are a hoe. So, yes. It says here. Law, no. I know I'm running out of time. I need to check. This is law number 69. It's Deuteronomy 23:18. Let's read that. That's the same chapter. Let's go all the way down to the 18th verse. Y'all really think y'all doing something. You ain't doing nothing but hurt your own selves, people. That's all y'all doing. You think you're so cute and you're so smart and you know what's up. You know what's going on, and you bling, bling, and bling block, and I got it going on. You think you so cute and smart, Matt. You people are fools. You are absolutely fools, Matt. Deuteronomy 23:18, Matt, for law number 69. Yeah, I know when I was a hoe, I thought it was cute, man. Parading up and down the street with my ass hanging out and all of that stuff, breasts hanging out, titties hanging out. Excuse me, pussy hanging out. I got to keep it real on this platform. So the God of Israel is a real God. And he's not a religious God. He a real God with real law. Yeah. 69. Let's read it, the law. Deuteronomy 23:18. Let's go up to Deuteronomy 23:17 for law 69. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel. Should I say it again? Should I say it again? There should be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. So you can't be no hoe, no prostitute, no stripper, none, and you can't even be a you can't be gay, a sodomite of the son. You cannot be a homo. You can't be no male gay man. That's what a sodomite is. A homosexual. A male homosexual. And we got this world full of this stuff, man. So full of this stuff. And guess what? The law of this land, it's okay for you to do it under their law. Matter of fact, America was one of the first countries that legalized homosexual activity, that a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman. Guess what? The law of the land. They wrote an executive order against the God of Israel, what he said that we can do and what we can't do. They made an executive order, signed it. Oh, yeah, a man can marry a man, a woman can marry a woman. Yes, Pete. When the God of Israel say right here in Deuteronomy 23:17, they legalize all your strip clubs. Whorehouses, all kind of stuff. There should be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite, a male prostitute. To lascivious idolatry. Lascivious idolatry means having sex, a man having sex with another man. Nah. Your gay pastors, your homosexual pastors that got big old churches, his husband is a man, his wife is a man. Abomination against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you Christians sit up under this madness and you think it's cute. It's okay for your pastor to be a homosexual. It's okay for your pastors and your preachers and your elders to be lesbians. God will forgive them. We under grace, right? We under mercy. God will forgive me. God will forgive. He ain't gonna hold that to me. God know my heart. Look at all this madness that y'all been taught to bring forth your paganism. Next law. Okay, that's Deuteronomy 23:17. I know I'm running out of time. Deuteronomy 23:18. Let's read that. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog. A male prostitute, it says in the Hebrew, the price of a dog. into the house of Ahiah, thy God, for any vow. For even both these are abominations unto Ahiah, thy God. Thou shalt not bring the hire, the money that a hoe make, sliding up and down her pole, working up and down the hoe stroll, turning tricks to get money, selling her body through escort service, think you're going to hide and be in secret and all of that. I read on the news the other day that this young woman, she was living a double life. She was working for an escort service, and her family didn't know it, didn't nobody know it. See, that's how they try to hide being a hoe. They're going to work on the escort service, they call it, and, you know, where somebody set up the date and set up the tricks and set up a place where they can go meet the man and make the money, a private place don't nobody know about. Guess what happened to her? One of them tricks, or one of them men that she went out with, killed her. Killed her. And her family didn't even know she was a hoe. So this is what I'm saying. You cannot bring that money and make no vow and all that, accept that money like the Christian church do. They don't care where the money come from. They don't care where it come from. A man can lay up with a man to get it. A hoe can lay up with a trick or whatever and get it. Bring it on to the church, they say, the house of God. It don't matter where it come from. So you people have to understand, we must establish law now. Because we living in a lawless society and world. It's an abomination for a hoe to bring her money up in the house of, you know, ain't no house of God anyway. These churches, they all paying. God ain't never told you to have one. He don't want your money. He don't want none of that stuff. It's an abomination. Next law. Law number 70. We almost finished with these people. You see how many more? Oh, yeah, we still got for marriage, divorce, and family. We still got quite a few. I'm going to try to get through all of these. Try to get through these. I still had a few scriptures I wanted to read on a couple of news articles. Okay, let's keep going. Law 70. This is Sister Radio Talk Show. I am your host, Elisha Bo. God's law versus the law of the land. 8 weeks teaching. All 613 laws in the Bible, audio number 4. Law number 70. Law number 70. Law number 69 said that there should be no harlot in Israel. There should be no intercourse with a woman without previous marriage, with a deed or marriage or formal declaration of marriage. We just read that. No holds. A man that a Hebrew man is not even allowed to marry a hoe. You're not even allowed to marry a hoe at all. And a lot of you Hebrew mans, you Hebrew Israelites, y'all don't marry plenty of hoes. Dancing down poles and all kind of stuff they done did in their life. Turning tricks, prostitutes. Law number 7. See how wrong you people. You are very wrong people. You out of order. You way out of order. You way out of order, people. And it's time for some order now. The God of Israel is going to bring order now. And a rod to discipline and chastise you evil, wicked, abominable people that love breaking his law and doing what you want to do and how. Law number 70. To take a wife by the sacrament of marriage. Deuteronomy 24:1. Let's go to that law. Deuteronomy 24:1. To take a wife by the sacrament of marriage. When a man have taken a wife. All right, people. You know they got all kind of laws of the land concerning marriage. and how you should get married and what you got to do to get married and what happened once you get married. Let's see what the God of Israel say under the covenant, under the law, the Torah. When a man have taken a wife and marry her, and it comes to pass that she find no favor in his eyes. In other words, he don't want his wife no more. He ready to get rid of her because he have found some uncleanness in her. Then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out. No, you don't have to go to no judge. Because again, that's the law of the land. You don't have to go to no judge and get no, you know, divorce papers and file no divorce papers in court and get a lawyer and all this stuff to go through procedures. Spend a lot of money and all of that stuff just to get a divorce up under the law of the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When a man don't want his wife anymore, he don't want to look at her, she don't look good to him no more, he don't want to have sex with her no more. I know a lot of marriages like that in the world. You and your wife sleep in different bedrooms. Different bedrooms. You don't want to talk to your wife. You don't want to sit down with your wife. All you want to do is sit in front of TV or Xbox 360. When a man have taken a wife and married her, it comes to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he have found some uncleanness in her. She might be a hoe, or she might be committing adultery on him, fornication, something she have done that he don't find, he don't want her no more. That's number one. She don't look good to him no more. And then he might, on top of that, find something unclean about her. She done cheated on him or went out with him on some with a man, something that she done that wasn't righteous. Then what? Look what the Bible said. Then let him write her a bill of divorce. No, you don't got to go to the court and let them write you nothing. Nothing at all. Matter of fact, you ain't even got no business going to no courthouse getting married. The God of Israel ain't never told you to go to no courthouse and get married. That's not the marriage that was orchestrated or established under the Hebrew nation. We are Hebrews. We must follow the Hebrew God and what the Hebrew God told us to do. He ain't never told us to go to no courthouse and get married and all of that stuff. He never told no man, when he Hebrew, a Hebrew man or a Gentile man that want to follow the law, he ain't never told you to go get no divorce through no courthouse and all that stuff, spending thousands and thousands of dollars putting these people in your business. All you got to do, bruh, is give her the bill. Write it out. Write it out. Put it in her hand and send her out of your house. And guess what? Y'all no longer married. It's that simple. It's that simple. And that's why they tell you got to go through the system and you got to go through court procedure and you got to go through the courthouse and, you know, when you get married, you change your name and all that stuff, you get their name. They go through all of that so they can make money off you. That's what it is. It's all about making money off the man and the wife that is married. That's why they send you to court and judges and all that to seal the marriage, they call it. So you can have their last name and you can get their check and their pension when they die and all that stuff, man. All these laws of the land that the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob ain't never told you people to do. All a man got to do is put the letter in your hand, sign it, and say, get out of my house. I don't want you no more, woman. I don't want to be your husband no more, and I don't want to be your wife. I don't want you to be my wife no more. That's all he got to do. But you people are so deceived that you believe you got to go to court, get a lawyer, spend thousands of dollars to get a divorce. And it's so simple as signing a piece of paper and giving it to your wife and putting it in her hand and sending her out your house. This is law. This is Torah. This is covenant. This is truth. I hear a lot of y'all say, I didn't know that. It's a lot of things you don't know that's wrote up in the law. The law is perfect and just and true. It's a lot of things wrote in the law, the Torah, that you don't know. Because you've been taught it's done away and you ain't got to have it. It's obsolete. Get rid of it. It's a lot you don't know, people. And that's why you hurting and destroying your own self. Because of the way you think and the way you feel. God ain't never did away with his law. And he never will. He never will. As long as you are a people in this earth, you must have law. And that law must be from the God that put you here. You must have law to govern you. To know what you got to do and what he want you to do. Without law, you don't understand and you don't know nothing. And that's why they set up a law in this land to govern you. Because you got to have a law. You got to have a law. Because without law, the world is lawless. And then you're going to just do whatever you want to do when you want to do it. And that's why they wrote the law of the land, to keep you in control. And that's why the God of Israel wrote the Torah, the 613 laws, to keep Israel and the Gentiles, if they believe, under control. To do what he wants them to do. Next law, law number 71. Let me see how much time I got when I read these last two. Law number 71, people. That the newly married husband shall be free for 1 year to rejoice with his wife, to have a lot of sex with his wife, to spend a lot of time with his wife. You ain't got no business once you get married. Yeah, you don't have to go to court to get married. You don't have to do none of that. When you want to get married, you do it the way the Bible, the Torah, tell you to do it. They have laws in the Bible tell you how to get married and what you're supposed to do when you get married. You people didn't know that either. So look, law number 71, that the newly married husband, you just got married, bro, like 3 months ago, shall be free. This is a law. You are not allowed to go to work for 1 year. You must stay home and make your wife happy. Happy. It's all about the wife right here under the law. Law number 71. That a newly married husband shall be free for 1 year. 1 year. You don't have no business working. You don't have no business going to school. You don't have no business watching video games and sport games and doing this. It's all about the wife for 1 year. Do you men understand why you treat your women the way that you treat them, your wives? Why? Because you don't know the law. You've never been taught the law. The God of Israel. The God of Abraham, a higher entity, told you men to stay home 1 year with your wives and make them happy. The law of the land don't teach that. Do it. Do it, people. Do it, brothers. It don't teach that. Soon as you get married, you going to work. Oh, I got to go pay the bills. And I got, you don't even supposed to have no bills, number one. That's another law of the land that they created. Bills, 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 bills. Everything is a bill, bill, bill. The God of Israel ain't never told you to have no bills. Abraham didn't have no bills. Isaac didn't have no bills. Jacob didn't have no bills. You got to leave your wife. You just got married last week. Now you got to go to work and go to school and go here and go there. And when you, the God of Israel, say right here, law number 71, not for you to do that, bro, for one whole year. All you men are guilty of this. You elders, you pastors, you leaders, all you people are guilty of this. You brothers, you men, you guilty. Black, white, pink, purple, don't matter what color. You are guilty of this law. Look what it say, 71, Deuteronomy 24:5. Let's go down, same verse. Let's just read it all the way down. Deuteronomy 24:1. And when a man have taken a wife and married her, and it comes to pass that she find no favor in her eyes because he have found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. Verse 2, Deuteronomy 24:2. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. So, yeah, go back over there to the New Testament where Paul said the husband is bound by the law as long as he's lived and that he can only have one wife. And if he have more than one wife, he's sinning. See, you got to be careful about the New Testament, people. I'm telling you. A lot of the stuff that they put, not a lot, but just a great portion, not a great portion, a small portion of it is injections to bring, so they can bring forth their law of the land. That's why the New Testament was wrote. That's one of the reasons, to bring forth the law of their land and their world and their God, Satan. And it says right here, Deuteronomy 24:2. And when she departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. So he done gave her the bill of divorce because he don't want her, and he done found something unclean in her. So he have a right to divorce her up under the law. Number one, he don't want her no more. Number two, she done did something that she shouldn't have did. Something unclean, like committed adultery on him or had sex with a man or some kind of disgracing or walking around like a hoe, showing her ass, naked, walking up and down the street. That's uncleanness for a woman to do as a wife. As a wife. And you wonder why the divorce rate is so high in the earth. We got a lot of hoes up in here. These women want to walk around half naked and all kind of stuff and say they married and all of that. No, no, no. So he had the right to give her the bill of divorce in his hand. And when he do that, he can put her out the house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go. She may go and be another man's wife. Why? Because she got divorced from her husband because she did something unrighteous and unclean that wasn't right up under the law. So she's free to go marry and be another man's wife. Go back to Romans 7. I think, is that Romans 7 or Corinthians? I think it's Corinthians where Paul talk about law of marriage. Either Corinthians or Romans. I'm not going to look it up right now. And read that and see how twisted the New Testament is twisted when it comes to reading this in the Torah, up under the law, the covenant. Verse 24, verse 3. And if the latter husband hate her, see that? If the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement, so if she go and get married again, and the other husband don't like her and hate her and don't want to have nothing to do with her, and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out. See, that's all you got to do to get a divorce. Just send her out of your house. But because you people have got connected to these women and these men through court systems and through judges and through the law of the land that's set up with marriage, then you know, you got to go to court and get a lawyer and get her name from your name and, you know, all of that stuff so she don't get your pension money. See, you did that to yourself because God had already told you and established what's the right way for you to marry a woman in the Bible, in the Torah. So you connected yourself to the law of the land, and you caused a lot of problems, bro. A lot of problems, sister. So it'll be hard for you to just give her a bill of divorce when she got your last name and all of that, and she on your insurance bill and your insurance and all kind of stuff. Y'all bought house together, all kind of stuff. I'm in overtime, people. All the law, the Torah ever said is for a man, when he want to marry a woman, he must go in unto her. It's that simple. They have agreement with the dad. The dad go to the man, and the man go to the dad and say, yes, I like your wife. I like your daughter. I would love for her to be my wife. And guess what? Under the law, she can't be no hoe or no ex-hoe. She got to be a woman that have never defiled herself with a man. See, this is real law, people, I'm talking about. This is the real Hebrew nation lifestyle. All you Hebrew Israelites and all y'all people, y'all not real. Y'all not keeping the law. Y'all not into real Hebrew lifestyle. You just want to go to church and wear your long dress and your veil and keep the holy days and the Sabbath. Try to keep it. Y'all ain't even keeping that right and doing that right. But I'm talking about all you got to do, and we're going to get to that. You don't have to go to no court and marry no woman and all that stuff. God, the God of Israel don't want you to connect like that, where the woman gets your last name and you get her name and she get on your insurance and, you know what I'm saying, she half of what you have belongs to her and all that. When you go through the court system, all of that is what's connected to it. So the God of Israel told, remember Isaac, when he wanted a wife, Abraham told his servant to go to his family house and find Isaac a wife. Find Isaac a wife. And the servant went and took gifts of gold and bracelet. And he went to Laman. I don't know, people. I ain't going to give you names right now because my mind ain't on that. But what I'm trying to say is that he went to his family house, his kin people house, and found Isaac, his son, a wife. And her name was Rebekah. That was his cousin that he married, his first cousin. We're going to get to that, people, about who you can marry in your family and who you can't marry in your family up under the law. That'll probably be the next segment that we do, audio number 5. We'll get more into that. So, yes, and all they did, the servant of Abraham gave her gold, and he went to her daddy and told him that he was from Abraham. His master sent him to her house, to his house, to find his son a wife. And when Rebekah saw, you know, she jumped off the horse and all that and was so in love with Isaac. And immediately they went into his mother tent, Isaac's mother tent, okay, which was Sarah. And they had sex. They had sex. Rebecca and Isaac had sex. And the Bible say they became husband and wife from that moment. So no, it's not like you people think it is. And that's why these marriages and all this stuff going on is defiled and it's polluted. Because y'all people did it against the way that the God of Israel told you to do it. And that's why your marriages are not staying together and you getting divorces and all kind of stuff. But let me keep going. Let me keep going. Let me keep going. And it say, when she departed, she could become another man's wife. Verse 3, and if the later husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it into her hand and send her out of his house, or if the later husband die, which took her to be his wife, so she's going to go get married again. And this husband that she married don't want her, and he's going to give her a divorce. He's going to put the bill of divorcement in her hand and send her out of the house. And then if that husband died, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, Deuteronomy 24:4, for law number 71, that you got to stay with your wife for 1 year up under the law when you marry her, Hebrews and Gentiles. Verse 4, her former husband was sent her away. Her old husband, the first husband that didn't want her, sent her out of his house with a bill of divorcement, may not take her again to be his wife. After that, she is defiled, for that is an abomination before Ahiah, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which Ahiah thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. So no, you cannot remarry the same woman or the same man again. Once you give them the bill of divorcement, that's it. You're not allowed to remarry them ever, 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 ever again up under the law of the God of Israel. Ahiah is his name, the God of the Hebrew nation, the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay. Verse 5 is for law number 71, that the newly married husband shall be free for 1 year to rejoice with his wife. Deuteronomy 24:5. That's what we're finna read now. When a man have taken a new wife, listen people what the law say now. These are considered as civil laws. You have civil laws, dietary laws, ceremonial laws, moral laws. These are all the laws. This is all the parts that the law is made up of. Civil, moral, dietary, and ceremonia. Verse 5 of Deuteronomy 24. When a man, see, you don't know what the law is all about. You don't know what it's all about. It's justice, civil laws, dietary law, what you can eat, what you can't, ceremonial laws, moral laws. When a man have taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war. Should I say it again? You ain't got no business going to war, joining the military and the army and all that stuff. They got that stuff so bad up under the law of the land. You got soldiers that just married their wife and over there in Afghanistan or somewhere all over the world fighting in some war when their wife at home with the kids. This is against the God of Israel, people. This is the law of the land that you people are following. A man should not go out to war. Neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife, which he have taken. That's why we got so much divorce in the world, because you people are breaking this law. You men are breaking this law. You got to cheer your wife up. Make her happy for 1 whole year without talking about I got to go do this and I got to go here without any business to say. And you cannot go to no war and none of that for 1 year. But you got to cheer up his wife, which he have taken. Make her happy. Make her glad. Make her rejoice. Make her feel good for 1 year. You know how many sad, broken sisters, mothers, wives, and women that we have in this earth because you men, you Hebrew men, and you Gentile men have not kept this law. And the God of Israel is going to hold you accountable for you not keeping this law. No, this is not in the Ten Commandments, what I'm reading. That's why I told you, you just can't read 10 and thinking you understanding the law and what the God of the law want you to do. You can't just read 10, because this ain't in the Ten Commandments. So, yeah. You got to stay home for 1 year without doing any business or going to war anywhere and cheer up your wife for 1 year. Give her how much sex she want, how much love she want, how much support she want, how much time she want. That's why you men are so cursed today. That's why you men are so weak today. That's why you men ain't getting nowhere today. Y'all the most weakest brothers I ever seen in my life. These men today, y'all the most weakest, pathetic, cowards, weak men that I ever seen in my life. It's all about work. It's all about money. It's all about what you want to do and how you got to do it. No, cheer up your wife. Make your wife happy. That is your job as a man. Make your wives happy. Instead of you making them happy, you making them sad. But you ain't got no time for them. When the God of Israel wrote a law for you to sit down at home, be with your wife for 1 year when you get married. Is that being taught in your Christian churches? No. Is that being taught in your Muslim churches? No. Is that being taught in your Buddha churches? No. Is that being taught in your Hebrew Israelite churches? No. Because they're not teaching you the law. They're teaching you religion. Law number 72. That a bridegroom should be exempt for a whole year, see that, from taking part in any public labor, such as military service, guarding the wall, and similar duties. Deuteronomy 24:5, we just read that. Next law, law number 73. And I'm going to try to finish these people. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it, but. Law number 73, not to, I'm going to read about three more, and then I need to read some more scriptures here. I'm going to read two more, and we're going to pick it up next time, Saturday, where we left off. Law number 73, not to withhold food, clothing, or congenital rights from a wife. Exodus 21:10. You can read that. Not to withhold food, clothing, or congenital rights from a wife. You got to take care of your wife. Exodus 21:10. You got to take care of your wife. You got to perform your duties as a man to take care of her and the children. You got to feed her. You got to buy her clothes. Take care of your wife. Your wife shouldn't be taking care of you. We got a lot of that going on. Lazy men. Lazy. Don't want to work for the God of Israel. Don't want to have your own food. Don't want to do what the God of Israel put you in this earth to do. Lazy. Your wife ain't even got no food. The kids ain't got no food. They hungry. I know when I was married, my husband didn't never keep food in the house. Why? Because he ain't doing what the God of Israel, he didn't do what the God of Israel told him to do, to keep food, number one. He didn't do what the God of Israel told him to do, to keep clothing in his household for his family, number two. He ain't never told you to work for no man. He told you to work for him in the field and have your own food. He ain't never told you to go to Macy's and the mall to buy no clothes. Gucci store and the Louis Vuitton store. He ain't never told you to do that. He told you to make your own clothes, Hebrews. Make your own special, beautiful garment to represent your God in the earth. You think you wearing some Levi's and True Religions and Gucci and Ralph Lauren and all this stuff. You represent the God of Israel. He hates them clothes, man. He hates their clothes. He hates them. They pagan and it's polluted. It's defiled. He never told you that. You're supposed to have your own clothes and your own food to take care of your family. Your wife can make the clothes for you. Your wife can make the clothes for you. While you in the field working, planting the fruit trees and the vineyard and the olive trees and the potatoes and the beans and the squash and the corn and all of that stuff, you in the field taking care of the animals, the goats and the chickens and the cows. Your wife is at home making the clothes for you and the children. This is how it's supposed to be. Not the other way around. But you got to go to the store and buy everything. Buy. Buy food, buy clothes, buy this, buy that. People, that is so dumb and ignorant. And I ain't trying to call y'all no names, but I'm calling it like I see it. Like I see it. Next one. I'm going to read two more, and I'm going to go to the verses. One more. I'm going to go to one more. Law number 74, that the woman suspected of adultery shall be dealt with as prescribed in the Torah. Numbers 5:30. So when you catch a woman in adultery, Numbers chapter 5, and I know a lot of y'all have caught y'all wives in adultery, and you're men, 5:30 of Numbers. Let's see what the laws say for that. Get ready to leave, people. 5:30. I have two news articles I want to go over and three more scriptures. 5:30. Start at 29. This is the law of jealousy when a wife goeth aside to another instead of her husband and is defiled. So when you commit adultery on your husband, you are defiled. And that's why he told you, you cannot be a whole if you're a daughter of Israel, because you are defiling yourselves when you go lay up with other men and make money and all that, and let them see your naked body and all of that stuff. Or when the, Numbers 5:30, or when the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous over his wife, and she'll set the woman before Ahia, and the priest, which is the Levite, shall execute upon her all this law. Then shall, Numbers 5:31, then shall the man be guiltless from iniquity, and this woman shall bear her iniquity. So when she go out and commit adultery on her husband, and he become jealous, he going to take her and set her before the God of Israel and talk to the God of Israel, the Hebrew God, and tell him what his wife have did and why he feeling the way he feel. And then they're going to take her to the priests, the Levites. That's why it's so important for us to realize that we are the Hebrew nation, that we are the children of Israel, and we are one. We're so divided through different names and, excuse me, and different religions. We're so divided as a nation and as a people through religion and different names of gods and doctrines. We got one God, one name, and one law, and one way. And one priest, the Levites, that would be the Haitians in the earth today. The Haitians is the priest, the Levites. Yes, that's who they are. And he can execute upon her all this law. Yeah. Yes, it's laws written up in the Bible when a woman commit adultery on her husband, what they need to do to her. Last law, people. I'm going to stop right there. What did I do with my pen? Okay. We're going to pick it up next week. I mean, Saturday. I'll be back this Saturday if the God of Israel say the same. We're going to pick it up at law number 75, okay? Law number 75 of the 613 laws that's written up in the Torah, the Mitzvot. Pick it up, law number 75. I want to go to a couple news articles for you right now before I read those last four scriptures. Let me go to the news article if I can. I don't know here. Let me see. Let's see, people. Okay, history. Yeah, right here. I'm still this one. Look, people. Put this down here. Okay. Go back here. Over here. Look, people. Look at this news article today in the news. We're talking about marriage and family under the law today. That's what we're teaching on today, okay? Marriage and family. Something that your Christian church and your Hebrew Israelite churches and all your churches don't teach about. Marriage and family. All they talking about is Bill Gates and the government and this and all that stuff. No, we must establish the law that it is good and that we must keep it. Look at this that happened today in the news. Can't never get no water. Celia! Cedia!
Excuse me, people. I'm sorry. It's a shame. It's a shame that I can't get no water up in here. Come on now. But it was this mom. She was putting her kids in the car this morning, getting ready to take them to school. I'm trying to get the article up right now. I don't want to come up. Let me try again, people. One moment. I think we got a little bit of time before they cut us off, maybe 15 minutes. Okay. If I don't get to all the scriptures, we can pick them up next week, Saturday. Okay. But anyway, the computer want to act up. It's okay, people. I can't do it. But anyway, she was putting her kids in the car to take them to school this morning. I think the news says she had about 4 or 5 kids. And the husband went to the house when the wife was putting the kids in the car and pulled out his gun. The wife had put a protective order on him and told the police she don't want him no more and is in the midst of getting a divorce and all of that. And what he did, he went to his wife's house, which was put the kids in the car, take them to school, took his gun out, and shot the kids was in the back of the car, 3-4 kids. He took his gun out because his wife didn't want him no more. They, you know, she wanted to get a divorce, and she put a protection order on him and all of that. So you got so much faith and confidence in the law of this land that I'm going to go to them and go to the judge and tell them that I need protection from my husband and they're going to put a protection order. No, look what happened to her. Look what happened to her. That man became jealous. I just read your law for a husband when he becomes jealous. That his wife don't want him no more. She might be seeing somebody else. He became jealous and envy, and he wanted to hurt his wife because his wife didn't want him no more. So he went to the house and pulled out his gun and shot his wife down in front of all 3 or 4 of his children in the back seat of the car, getting ready to pull out and go to school this morning. Killed his wife right in front of the children. Right in front of the children. So do y'all see what is going on in this world? How this world have became and the people in it so wicked. He just shot his wife down in front of all 3 kids. He didn't kill the kids. Right now he in jail. Right now, he in jail. Law and marriage and family is what we are talking about today. Don't know, it's not too many men and women in this world that love family. Next news article, people. Let me just show you what's going on in this earth with family, with men and women and husband and wives. This businessman, this businessman strangled and dismembered with a chainsaw and burned by his wife and her lover. It was a businessman, and he had a wife, and his wife had a lover. She was cheating on her husband. And the article said they had successfully built a rental property business together. It was a big success for the husband and the wife. And their 3 children. They had 3 children.
It was a family business. But the wife was cheating on the husband. Haven't I been going through the scriptures all day talking to you about a husband and a wife and all that stuff, that's all the things that's written up under the law? So the boyfriend and the wife took a chainsaw. This was in the news today. It was also in the news today that the husband shot down the wife in front of the kids when she was taking them to school this morning. They took a chainsaw, the wife and the husband, and cut the husband up in a lot of pieces. The boyfriend and the wife dismembered the husband, the businessman, with a chainsaw. Probably because they wanted to, the wife wanted to run the business, to own the business, and she didn't want the man no more. She wanted another man. But why did she have to go? Why did she have to go so deep into doing all of that? Why? Because this world is lawless, and they don't understand principles, and they don't understand what's good, and they don't understand what's right, and they don't understand what's righteous and what's not, and what's unrighteous. Because you've been told that you only got to keep 10. And you just got to read the New Testament. And all the rest of it, you're under Jesus and grace and mercy, and don't nothing else matter. So this is why we see all this satanic, evil stuff that's in this earth right now. Because you people want to continue to follow the law of this land. So with that, people, we're going to go to Romans 6 and read 15 and 16. You know what? I'm going to just read Romans 6, 15 and 16, and I'm going to say the other three scriptures that I have for Saturday. I'm going to say Romans for next time. We're going to read John chapter 1:29, and John, 1 John chapter 2:29, 1 John chapter 3 verse 4 through 10, and we're going to be finished. People, let's get that so we can get out of here. So let's go to John. 1 John. 1 John, people. 1 John. Because you people choose to go outside of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Hebrew nation, and marry your way and do it your way and do it the way the law of the land tell you to do. And that's why your marriages are cursed. They are cursed. And that's why you see a lot of divorce and a lot of killings and stuff among the husbands and wives and all. Cursed. Everything's cursed because you went outside of the God of Israel to do it another way. And he can only bless. And he can only bless and prosper and exalt what he told you to do in the earth. Nobody else told you to do. So 1 John chapter 2:29. And this is the problem, people. I must correct you, people, as the prophet of the Hebrew nation. 1 John 2:29. If you know that he is righteous, who is he? The God of Israel. The Son of God. He's righteous. If you know that he is righteous, Yeshua is his name, not Jesus. You know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. Born of who? The God of Israel, the Father, the Creator. If you know that he is righteous, he, God the Father, you know that everyone that do righteousness, justification, equity, character of act, righteousness, is born of him. Next scripture. First John. Remember what I say, righteousness. If he's righteous, then you got to be righteous. Righteousness is of the law. And I'm about to prove that to you. So you believing in Jesus and all that stuff, joining the Christian churches and the Israel church and all these churches and mosques and stuff, that don't make you righteous. That don't make you righteous. Why? Because that's not righteousness. Joining a Christian church is paganism. It's satanic. It's wicked and evil because they teach against the God of Israel and they teach against the law. So it is pagan. All your churches and all your congregations are pagan because they don't operate in righteousness and they don't teach righteousness. Just because you believe in Jesus, that don't make you righteous. Just because you've been baptized, that don't make you righteous. What scripture is that? Because you've been baptized, you're righteous. Just because you join the Christian church and a member of the churches and organizations, that don't make you righteous. Just because you singing in the choir, that don't make you righteous. Because you're speaking in tongues, you call it Holy Ghost, satanic tongue. I can do the full research on it and prove to you that's what it is. That don't make you righteous. The only thing going to make you people righteous is that you obey the God that put you here, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, the God of the Hebrew nation. Why? Because he is righteous. So he the only one can make you righteous. There's no other God. There's no other nothing. No other law, the law of this land, no other, the Constitution. There's no other, nothing can make you righteous but him and his law. Bottom line, people, Hebrews and Gentiles, bottom line. Last scripture, and I'm getting ready to leave, people. I got to go now. 1 John 3:4-10. 1 John 3:4-10. We almost getting to 100 laws. Almost. We at law number 75. We getting there, people. We going to get there together as one, understanding who the God of Israel that wrote the law, who he is, and what we need to do now as one, as the Hebrew nation. And the Gentiles seeking and serving and calling on the real God, the God of Israel, and believing in that law, the Torah, the 613. 1 John 3:4. Last scripture. 1 John 3:4-10. Whosoever commits sin, listen to me, people. Last scripture, last precept. That's what the Hebrew scrolls call it, precept. Your English Version Bible call it scripture. It's a precept. It's a principle that we are reading right here in 1 John chapter 3. Verse 4, it's a principle. It is a precept. Whosoever commits sin transgress also the law. Whatever sin that you are committed, whether it's adultery, homosexual, lesbianism, Planned Parenthood, taking birth control pills, when the God of Israel told you to multiply and fill the earth? Calling on other gods when he say he's one God with one name? You got all kind of gods and statues. When you are believing that the law of this land is what you need to follow and keep, and you despise and reject the God of Israel law, you sinning. You are a sinner. You are a sinner. The 613 laws that's rolled up in the Mishnah, in the Torah, talks to you all about what you can do and what you can't do, which is sin if you do them. If you break those laws that is rolled up in the Torah, the Old Testament, you are sinning. And that's why the people that rule this earth want you to believe that you are not sinners, that God know your heart, that you saved. Ain't no such doctrine up under the Torah that teach you that you saved. How is you saved? Well, right here, 1 John 3:4, it say you are sinners because you're transgressing the law. You don't even believe in the law. You only believe in 10. You are a sinner, Pete. And that's why you got COVID and all kind of stuff up in this earth. I'm telling you, people, I told you a few days ago when I came on, the God of Israel got some powerful things up his sleeve to put in this earth. To correct you people. Chastise you lawless, sinning, sinful people that believe that his law is done away with. And I'm out of grace. What is grace anyway? What is grace? Grace is that he sent the Son of God to this earth, Yeshua. Yeshua means Savior, my Savior in the Hebrew. He sent him here to this earth to help the children of Israel, the 12 tribes, have eternal life. That's what grace is. Grace is just eternal life. Grace is the Son of God coming into earth, bringing that eternal life. It ain't got nothing to do with you not keeping the law and you not obeying the God of Israel and doing what he told you to do in the law. It don't have nothing to do with that. Grace don't have absolutely nothing to do with that at all. Grace is what I just said, that you're going to have eternal life because he sent his Son, Yeshua, my Savior in the Hebrew, or Yeshua. So look what John say here. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law. It said Greek number. You have three Greek numbers for this transgression of the law in 1 John 3:4. I'm getting ready to leave, people. It's Greek number 458. Illegality, that is violation of law. Or general wickedness, iniquity, transgression of the law, unrighteousness. That's what it means right here in 1 John 3:4. Transgression means unrighteousness, violation of law. What law? Not the Ten Commandments. The 613 laws
that's written in the Old Testament, the Hebrew scrolls, Mishavah. Look what it say. Whosoever commits sin, transgress also the law. Sin is Greek number 266. It's a offense. Offense. Sin. Offense. Sin. Sin. Missing the mark. Offense. At fault. Trespass. For sin is the transgression. Look what it said. Whosoever commits sin, transgress the law. For sin, trespass, wrongdoing, is the transgression of the law. And if you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And I'm going to stop right there, Pete. And we're going to pick it up right here Saturday. We're going to pick it up right here at Romans chapter 6. And we're going to read Peter Saturday, okay? And with that, people, Daniel chapter 11. Let me read this last one here just to close this out. Daniel chapter 9, verse 11. Just to close this out, people. Daniel chapter 9, verse 11. Look, people, yes, even your New Testament teaches you that you are sinners and that you are transgressing and breaking the law. Wow. And you thought the law was gone away and was dead and obsolete. Not at all, people. Not at all. Daniel 9, verse 11. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the 613, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. So all of Israel have transgressed. And guess what, people? You are their children, Hebrews, thy law. And you doing it worse than them. Even by departing, you have left the law. You're under the law of the land. You're under religion. You're under doctrine of man. You're under the control of man, not the control of your God, Hebrews and Gentiles. All of Israel have transgressed thy law. It say thy law. Is Hebrew number 8451 for Daniel's 9:11 a precept? What did I tell you the Hebrew scrolls are? They're not scriptures and Bible verses. They are called precepts in the Hebrew. A precept or statute, especially Decalogue or Patriot law. Law. A precept, a statute. All of Israel have broke the 613. And they breaking them today. Even by the part of that they might not. See, it ain't about obeying the voice of the God of Israel. It's about obeying the voice of your government, the voice of your mayor, your president, and your Congress, your kings and your queens, whatever law they got and said they you got to do and have and go after. You have departed from not obeying the voice
of thy voice. They have not obeyed his voice. Therefore, the curse, people, COVID-19 is a curse. It's a plague in the earth. No, they cannot stop it. And they won't be able to stop it until the God of Israel want to stop it. It's a plague. It's a curse. The curse have been poured upon you from the God of Israel. That's why it moved from one place to the next. And they can't figure out where it's going and where it's going to do next. I read over there in India, they got black fungus now. It's worse than the COVID. They got a disease called black fungus. Once they get healed from the COVID-19, then they turn around and die from another plague and a disease called black fungus. So no, people, the curse have been poured upon you for calling on other gods, number one. Number two, having all kind of statues and idols. Number three, for this obeying his Torah, his law, the 613. And until you people make it up in your mind and in your heart that you want to go back to the principle of the Bible, of the book, of the letter, the curse is going to continue to pour out upon you. Hebrews and Gentiles. We don't know what the next curse is going to be. We got the COVID. We got the husbands killing their wives and cutting them up, and the wife cutting up the husband and the kids and all kind of stuff. The curse, all kind of sickness and disease and death and mental illness and poverty. The curse. Wake up and realize that you have transgressed the law. The curse is poured upon us and the oath that is written in the law of Moses. So whatever he wrote in the Torah, in the Old Testament, and gave to Moses to give to the children of Israel, whatever he told the children of Israel, and other nations, the Gentile nations, they was with the Egyptians. A lot of them left Egypt and came with the children of Israel when they left Egypt, the Gentiles, the Africans. Whatever law that he gave Moses and told them that they cannot do or what they had to do, and whatever he said was going to happen if they don't obey that precept or that law or that principle, whatever oath that he made and told them, that's what you people are seeing right now in the earth. He told you, if you serve other gods, I'm going to bring sickness and disease and plagues and pestilence on you. You under the curse, people. You under the curse. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field, and cursed, Deuteronomy 28, shall the fruit of your womb be. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. That's your food and your money. Curse everything. Deuteronomy 28. Go back and read it. Read the whole entire Deuteronomy 28 to know what curses is being poured on you people and on us for disobeying his voice and what he told his servant, the prophet Moses, that it was going to be and what the children of Israel had to do. And with that, people, I'm going to talk to you Saturday. If the God of Israel send me here, I will be here. So, y'all people, Wake up, man. Wake up and snap out. Wake up and snap out. Wake up and snap out. Snap out of the zone. Snap out of the sleep. Snap out. Because if you don't snap out, you're going to be snapped in. And you know what snap in I'm talking about? All kind of hell on earth. And guess what? When you leave this earth, you go straight to hell, the pit. The pit of Satan and his demons and all his soldiers, his members and his children and the earth. Snap out. You're running out of time. You're running out of time. You notice that the God of Israel raised me up, his prophet, in these last days and hour and time to establish his law. Just like when the children of Israel left Egypt, he established this law through a prophet or prophets, Moses, Miriam, she was a prophetess. Aaron, she was just like me, a prophetess. But because I say I'm a prophet, it's because my rank and my charge is so high and so mandated and so exalted. You notice he preserved me for this hour to establish his law, because the God of Israel, he is a great God and a good God. But if you make him angry and upset and do something, make him mad, he'll hurt you. He'll kill you. He'll hurt you. He'll do something bad to you, people. You don't know that God. So I have to establish his law before he come back, send his angels back to destroy this earth that you people have polluted and defiled. And before he destroyed 90% of this world, through the beast and his system, the law of the land. It must be established, this law, who he is, what he said, what he wants, and how he wants. It must be established, just like it was established when they came out the wilderness before they got to Canaan, the promised land. He have to establish it again, because guess what? He's going to save his remnant. Out of this, 10% will be preserved and saved so we can make it back to our land, Zion, Jerusalem, our home in Africa. So he had this, he got to establish it so he can look for a people that want to keep the law and not be lawless. Those people that snap out and wake up and realize that the law stands today, all 613 and all the rest that we don't have. Because a lot of the law, we don't have it. They took it and did stuff with it and all of that. So we only have what we have, people. But it must be established. Because the remnant is the ones that's going to keep the 613 when they get back to Jerusalem. We must practice right now. We're in the land of our enemies. We're in captivity right now all over the earth. Esau, our big brother, and the Gentile nations, all of them, Germans and all the rest of them, Koreans and Chinese, we in captivity to these people. But 10 is going to make it out of all
what's about to happen in this earth, 10%. And we will see the New Jerusalem coming down over there on Mount Zion in Africa, the Holy Land. Not the ones over there where the Israelites them is. That's not the real Jerusalem. The real one's up in a mountain. Can't nobody touch it but the children of Israel, the Hebrew nation. So, people, I'll talk to you later. Bye for now.